Christopher. Thank you very much for joining us this morning here on Upbeat.
Happy to be here.
Pleasure to have you. So talk us through 8. I mentioned a little bit there in terms of what these photographs and these images are dealing with. I want to give you the space to maybe explain it in a... Because you're the expert here, not me. You talk us through what this show is about.
Okay, well, basically what happened is in 2012, my father got diagnosed with a terminal disease and was given essentially 6 months to live. So he died in April 2013. And I noticed with myself when I was going through that whole experience of having that diagnosis and also his funerary experiences, how disconnected I was from the whole environment that I was encountering.
Yeah.
So I had this, it comes essentially from a space of dysfunction where I felt like it wasn't really connecting to me properly. So what I was actually looking at was, you know, was my experience wrong? You know, was I doing something incorrect? Why were people around me connecting naturally and why couldn't I connect? So I started exploring that space and trying to figure out what was potentially, you know, going on in there for me personally and also institutionally as well.
Right. And it's kind of, it's an interesting sort of process. And I've had a friend go through a similar thing, and photography was kind of her way of coming to terms with it and dealing it. Is there a, like, I guess it's a pretty complicated thing that's kind of going on here in terms of the use of photography and almost like a distance to get you closer to the thing. You're sort of distancing yourself through the camera in an attempt to sort of burrow your way into the thing that you're trying to understand.
Well, I use photography and I use art making in general to sort of resolve issues that I have in my life and as a way to connect to people broadly. So I'm quite introspective and quite shy. So it's a way for me to sort of force myself into environments and in front of people that really confront me and make me really question what I'm doing.
Mm.
So photography is like a mask. Or a camera is like a mask. So it's a way for me to deal with things and have enough distance to be able to deal with often quite difficult things without actually having to directly sort of peel your skin back, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting too, like I've seen a couple of the images from the show. It's one of those things that I guess what you do when this sort of style opens itself up to that is you don't really necessarily... If you don't have the context of kind of what's going on, it's a very different image. And once you sort of work out the context and maybe what the thing is or why that is the subject of an image, it becomes you read it very differently and you feel very different.
Yeah, well, I use a lot of ambiguity in my work. Mm. So I'm really particularly keen on sort of allowing a viewer to come into a space and look at an image and potentially connected to their own personal experience. So the way I sort of talk about it is it's like a hospital with a capital H rather than, you know, RPH or Charlie's or something like that. It's not really specifically a particular experience. So people can potentially connect to stuff that might even be 10, 20 years in their past.
Yeah. Well, and that's it as well. It's not just your photographs and your thing as well, right? There's other voices in there in the show.
Yeah, there is quite critically. I've been interviewing people across the southwest, basically from Bunbury down to Albany, and I've been talking to people who've gone through these sorts of experiences and sort of trying to decode what they experienced, and also been talking to professionals in this space, so doctors and nurses, funeral directors, a death doula down in Denmark, palliative care nurses, all these different people who have quite interesting experiences and quite interesting perspectives on not just death. It's not just about dying. It's about the whole idea of confronting, you know, those end of life environments where you're potentially, you know, going through huge stress for prolonged periods of time, in some cases years.
Yeah. And the idea that there is a normal way to behave when there actually isn't.
Yeah, well, that's what's really interesting. I mean, the interviews were 11, I think it was 11 hours of interviews, and they've all been transcribed. And essentially what I found, so each experience is obviously unique, but there's all these universals that sort of come through as well. Mm-hmm. So but there's like this idea of the necessity of some form of ritual, the necessity or connection to other emotional tools, so things like music and how music is really critical for people. Yeah. A lot of people talk about singing quite a lot, which is really, really interesting. And other people dealing with things, you know, quite creatively. I mean, just to give you an example, one of the people I interviewed, she was having marital issues at the time that she lost one of her parents. So she couldn't really deal with the death of her parent when it actually happened. So she actually went through a whole grieving process and a whole sort of funerary experience almost 10 years after the actual loss of the parent. Wow. So it's really interesting how she pulled all these different sources of experience. So she had some sort of Eastern stuff, and then she was originally Irish, so she had some more Irish stuff here as well, and pulled in all these different things just to sort of get some sort of access to grief and get through that process, even regardless of how long after the fact it was.
Yeah, that's kind of, you say access to grief there, it's an interesting way of putting it. There's a few other things associated with this as well, right? I'm really like, there's a book that's going to be at the Perth show that's available as well, and a few artist talks and death cafes. Talk us through that.
The death cafes are going to be more regionally rather than in the Perth show. Yep. The death cafe ethos is actually very much about having neutral space. So the idea of actually bringing someone into an exhibition and having a death cafe is actually counterintuitive to the death cafe process. It's sort of like you're bringing them into an emotive space where they maybe even feel pressured by what's around them.
Yeah.
I really encourage people, if you find a death cafe or you even want to do your own death cafe, I really encourage it. It is one of the most rewarding things you will ever do in your life. I've been to a couple down in Albany. There's an extraordinary one. And it's very, very simple. If you go to deathcafe.com, it's got a whole like kit, basically, of how to set one up, and you can even just do it in the backyard with some friends. It's a very, very good process, and a very, very interesting experience.
Can you talk us through a little bit more? This is a new one to me.
Okay, so death cafes are